I wrote a whole book on sibling rivalry, but it was the adult version. The reality is, hey, come on now, if you have adult siblings, you may know that there can be sibling rivalry. But it begins in childhood, doesn't it? And so maybe you have a case of sibling rivalry in your family today. We're going to talk about that and hear your stories, and I think it'll be very encouraging for you. Today's program is one of our best of because, again, we just have already programs that have been so powerful in presenting the message that we're concerned about. But you know what? We want you to be a part of it today as well. And you can do that by leaving your comments, your stories, your questions that we get to on our comment line by calling 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. As we talk about sibling rivalry, which is something that begins early in childhood. And here's a fact, and I'll elaborate more on it during the program, and that is that if you have a competitive family that you grew up in, you tend to have, I'm talking about unhealthy competitive family, you can have unhealthy competition between you and your siblings.
You know, my dad's not here, but him being a Marine and having a lot of kids, plus us six kids, he was always busy changing diapers. And one of the fondest memories I have my dad is just the fact that he had a different relationship with each of us but loved us all equally. And it was that kind of fun that always perseveres and helps me in life today, even in the worst of times. Thanks.
Yeah, what you didn't experience was a sense of competition where one child measures up and another child doesn't measure up. And that's a difficult thing. Come on, parents and grandparents. We know it's easier sometimes to relate with or relate to one of our children over another. Maybe their interests are similar to ours or personalities are easier to adapt to our own. And these kinds of things can be picked up easily in childhood. And remember, all behavior has a purpose, as you've heard me teach. And the purpose sometimes is to get your attention or sometimes to just have some power in the relationship. So today, we're going to talk about how you can deal with sibling rivalry. Come on in.
The older one has significant learning disabilities and is causing a lot of friction between the two of them because she doesn't want the younger one to outdo her in anything.
When I'm working with my kids, I have that structure and I have that no not to mess with me.
My parents were very gender biased. I'm the oldest of five. And my younger brothers had later curfews, were given more freedom, so that really did create some heartache between us and irreparable harm in the relationship. It bothered me that everything that they do is a competition.
And that's the word to underline today is competition, competition. We live in a competitive world, but when we bring competition into our families, competing for love and attention at home, or to measure up or, you know, be like dad or be like mom or what they thought they wanted us to be. And then our brother or sister, they measure up, at least in our eyes. Those things create competition, and competition is negative. Look at Joseph and his brothers in the book of Genesis. Look at Cain and Abel. I mean, we don't have to go very far through the book of just the book of Genesis to find sibling rivalry as I think about it. You got Joseph and his brothers. You got Cain and Abel. We got Rachel and Leah. Who else do we have? Jacob and Esau. And there's four right there, right off the bat. So feel comforted in that this is not just a 21st century reality. This goes back to biblical times for sure. Okay, Peggy's in Georgia. Welcome to the Intentional Living Center today, Peggy.
Hey, thank you very much.
Do you
much.
Relate to a sibling rivalry?
Well, I did. Of course, I'm not that sibling rivalry type thing.
Well, that's
anymore.
Good because many adults really carry it in right to their own grave. I mean, there are adults that never get this stuff fixed with their siblings.
Well, mine related to the story that the young man told at the beginning about the garage
yeah.
door. It was. I know it wasn't funny, but it was, and I never thought anybody else had experienced that. But my older sister and I, she was chasing me through the house. This was about 40 years ago. And I slammed the door in front of her, and she decided she was going to push it open. But she pushed on the glass, and her wrist went through the window and slit her wrist. And, of course, they had to go to the emergency room, and I got in big trouble, too. I'm sure I had done something to cause her to chase me, though, knowing me. I was the middle child, you know.
So there was a lot of that kind of rivalry and bickering or fighting or going on as you were growing up?
Oh, there was. There was three of us. I'm the middle. My older sister's 3 years older. My younger sister, almost exactly 3 years younger.
How do you get along now?
So I'm the middle one. I'm the middle underappreciated daughter.
All middle children. We always make an issue to appreciate middle children at my conferences. We have them stand, in fact, because middle children are always, always left out.
I know. I got to stand at your conference in one.
There you go. I always have middle children stand because we feel for you guys. But what would a baby or an oldest do without a middle?
I don't know.
All right. So how do you all get along today, Peggy?
You know? But my older sister and I get along fine now. It's really weird because when we got out of high school and college, my younger sister and my older sister identified a lot with each other. Neither were involved in church at all, and I was. And so I was always pretty judgmental on things that they did. And so they didn't like me around because I would tell them they were doing wrong. And then as things have progressed, my older sister and I now have become close. And my little sister, not real close to either one of us right now, family issues and stuff. But it's just weird how things have changed.
Well, it does. And I'll tell you the dynamic. We've got a question coming up right now about a couple of brothers not talking to each other. As they've grown older, and it does change. Many times it's because people get, you know, they get married, and there's new dynamics, new relationships, and there's other
changes. Well, that's what caused this.
Absolutely, and those things are just part of the dynamic, because every time you add to the family, there's a new culture that has to be developed. Hey, thank you, Peggy. You're talking sibling rivalry today. How about you? Maybe you can relate. 888-888-1717.
They are just nitpicking over the most simplest things, and I'm about to lose all of my hair.
She believes that I love him more because she's feeling that he is loved more.
When they are in the vehicle with me, there is no respect for me. There is no respect for each other's bodies, no respect for, you know, like you were just saying, you know, no name calling. One of my brothers, my younger brother, not so much, but the one that was 18 months younger than me, we are still estranged and we're both in our 40s. But my children, the only word that I can describe my four boys are, and I mean even my two-year-old, is bullies.
All right, listen, this is pervasive. It is worldwide. It is historical. We can go back to the book of Genesis. As we said, we just pointed out four sibling rivalry stories in the very first book of the Bible. And see it all throughout Scripture. We see it throughout history. Sibling rivalry is a symptom of competition. And it requires two people, at least, to be in a competitive environment. And you know what? Here's the problem in a family. We live in a competitive world. We compete for everything. But in our families, if a child feels, and even though it's not intended by the family that that child feel this way, if they start to feel that they are competing for attention, significance, love, power, that begins the root of the problem. Have any of you seen the TV show? I think it's in rerun now. Everyone Loves Raymond. And even the title of that TV show was Everyone Loves Raymond. Well, what about the older brother? What was it, Robert? Was that his name? The older brother, Robert. And he always felt like he was playing second fiddle, trying to catch up, trying to measure up, trying to be appreciated, finding significance, someone pay attention to him, someone love him. And we laugh at a story like that, but it goes on every day in the homes of many, many families. So what do you do? Competitive siblings need a competitive environment to compete, don't they? So what do we do? I think you're seeing the direction. We got to eliminate unhealthy competition. How do you do that? We're going to talk about that here in just a moment, give you some specific help. Karen's in Arizona with a question. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you so much for taking my phone call. I love your show. I use your 90-day devotional every morning, and I just am growing so much in the Lord. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad now. You've been just keeping you've been very intentional in doing this every day?
Yes, absolutely, intentionally, yes. And that's one of the reasons I'm calling. My heart is really broken over my two sons. I have three children, and my sons are not talking to each other, and there's now a grandchild involved.
So they're older. They're adults?
Yes, they're adults. And
why aren't they talking to each other, do you think?
Well, I believe it's one of the wives doesn't like our family. She doesn't like me. I'm embarrassed to tell you that. And my kids grew up in the Lord doing ministry, and the two of them together are so much stronger together. But one made some radical mistakes as a teenager and then came back to the Lord and is a rebirth person and has a beautiful family now and a child. And the wife of the other son really looks down on my son that made all the mistakes. Her husband, my youngest, did everything right.
Okay, but how did you...
It's everything right.
Now, when you look in at this, Karen, was there a moment or something said or done that you think set this in motion?
Yes, my youngest son's wife wrote an email to our family saying some horrible things about us.
Mm.
And my older son was very upset that my younger son allowed this to go out to the family.
Yeah.
And my family is, strong Italian, just very Christian, and it was just a shock. And ever since that time, nothing has ever been the same.
Sure.
Although I put it in the past because she's young, and I really believe what the Bible says about when you get married, you're one, and I have to bless that relationship. But it's just really sad. I just don't know what to do. But what I have done.
Let me ask you though, Karen, in your heart of hearts, you didn't agree with your son marrying that woman?
No.
Okay. And she knew that?
Because
I'm only talking to you. I'm laying the proverbial cards face up on the table here. She knew you didn't approve of her.
Yeah, I thought she was leading my son in the wrong direction.
Right. But I'm just saying, they're married.
Yeah.
But in her heart, she knows mother-in-law didn't approve of me, doesn't like me. That's the story she's made.
I just was surprised at his choice.
Yeah, okay, all right. There are moms and dads all over the country standing in amazement with the same kind of choices that kids make, and so you're not uncommon or certainly not strange, the fact that you're experiencing this. Karen, just a couple real basic things when we talk about sibling rivalry. Look at a triangle in your mind. If all of you would just think of a triangle with the three points. And if you take the three points, you're at one of the points. Maybe you have a sibling at another point and another sibling at another point or another family. And what happens so often is these triangular relationships start to develop. I talk to them, they talk to me, they talk to the other person, and pretty soon we've got an unhealthy thing going on. I would encourage you to keep keeping the relationships separate. Have a good relationship with each of your sons to the extent you can, but not getting caught in gossip or discussing or getting caught in trying to resolve their problems. Secondly, to the extent that you can really bless the life of this young daughter-in-law, you do it. You speak into her life. You love on her. You spend time with her. You let her know that you appreciate her and love her. And if you feel at some time appropriate to apologize, then you do that. But at the end of the day, all you can do is be the kind of in-law that you need to be to demonstrate the kind of love for that young woman that she needs from you, to let her know that you're blessing her and that you're blessing your son. But when they get going with each other, the only thing you can say is, you guys are adults now, you got to work this out and stay out of it. Because there's a no-win situation when you bet your nose in. Triangular relationships do not work.
Stopping sibling rivalry can be really difficult. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Can I say two things to you about sibling rivalry? Number one, don't get caught in the middle. But you're thinking they're driving me crazy, and you get sucked into the middle, don't you? And when you're there, you're a referee in the middle. You end up solving problems that the kids need to learn to solve themselves. And that really goes to the second point, is do hold both children accountable. But you're thinking one is the instigator. Well, that may be mostly true, but not typically always true. Holding them both accountable, sending them to their own space, training both of them. When you do this, you're helping teach your children how to resolve problems by not standing in the middle, but standing outside the circle and holding them both accountable. And when you do, that's intentional parenting.
Go to theintentionallife.com/minute to get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day.
Hey, Dr. Randy. I've listened to your program for a few months now, and it's been really helpful to me. My family and I have recently learned some disturbing news involving one of my siblings. We've learned that he's been sexually involved with his ex-girlfriend, and this has been a real heartbreaker to us. We never expected it. We live in a Christian home, and we go to a wonderful Christian church. It's really been a shocker for us. I'm really angry at him and his ex-girlfriend, and I don't know what to do about it, and I know that it's not godly to be that way. So I'm just wondering if you have any advice for that. I'd really appreciate it. Bye.
And I hear the heartbreak, because you know that... You know what's going to happen, don't you? You see the path that your family member could be on and where that can lead. Isn't it interesting sometimes when we step back two or three steps, we see some things in other people, in their life, their behavior, their attitude, whatever, that we can kind of see where the end game is. And many times we miss it in our own lives. We have this way of just deluding ourselves, I suppose. But to answer your question specifically, remember, you don't control another family member. There's a little circle of control around our own lives. We need to take care of that, how we think, how we respond, the habits we develop, what our attitudes are going to be. Are we going to be followers of Christ? Are we going to really do that or not? I mean, it's really a decision. But outside that circle, really all we have is influence. And so pray for your brother, encourage him, maybe give some open-ended questions. Where is this leading? Where is this going to go? Are you getting help to make sure that you understand what God's good intention is for your life? So do the things you can, and remember, you can't control someone else. That's a reminder for all of us, those of us who love to control things, to understand we have a very small area where we can control, and in that circle, let's do what we can for God's glory and the benefit of those we love, and then give the rest to Him every day. All right, I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. Glad you're joining us today. Your comments are always welcome when we're talking about things like sibling rivalry or whatever at 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. I said it at the beginning of the program. We believe that the right goals supported by the right daily habits intentionally lived over an extended period of time result in total freedom. But you got to have the right goals, and the goals have to begin. As Paul said, I march toward the goal, the upward call, the high calling of Christ. And when our goals are centric to our faith, centric to biblical teaching, centric to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can't go wrong. Then it's up to us to get up off our backside and actually live it. And that's the habitual side, the habits, the actions, the intentional part of it. We're talking about one aspect of being intentional. That's being intentional in your relationship with your siblings. And let me go to Julia. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Well, thank you.
Appreciate your call. Can you relate to this sibling rivalry today?
I can. We had much civil rivalry, and I would say a lot of it was my own opinions, and I'm going to point out a specific sibling in reference, which her name would be Gail, and I know she got a lot of flack from the family. She's a very sensitive soul, went through a lot of medical anomalies, and kind of like the Jesus theory, you know, we kind of didn't believe her all of her life with all of the things she went through because she never put it on paper. And so since I've given myself to Christ, I realize that all of my siblings in the way that we've been and the rivalry we've been, at least for me, it's led me to my relationship with Chris and been able to look towards my sister Gail, that, you know, she held herself strong regardless, you know, of what she went through, regardless of what we told her, regardless of how we treated her, because she couldn't prove it on paper. And, you know, that's how Jesus works. You know, not everything is on paper.
So has that changed your relationship? You're giving your life to Christ, changed your attitude and relationship with her?
Yes, because I can see how, you know, how cruel I was, especially because she didn't provide me with her doctor's notes and her, her proof, when that's personal between her and
absolutely.
God. And if I can love her enough to, whether it was true or not, if I couldn't love her enough to take the benefit of the doubt, to walk in faith, you know, that's what I want to say. It taught me how to accept everything that comes my way in faith.
Yeah, and I
use her as an example because I know all of my life I treated her very badly and even laughed at her and scoffed at her, and I know a lot of people that come to Christ go through the same thing.
Well, I think it's a key that now as a new follower of Christ, you may feel, if it's appropriate to do so, to express that to her, what God has done in your life, how he's changed your life and your attitudes, and that you sincerely apologize, to be able to establish maybe a reconnection with your sister, if that'd be appropriate to do so. Okay, thank you, Julia. Appreciate it. Linda, I think we found you. We found you. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, thank you. And it's good to be on the line.
How do you relate to this sibling rivalry?
Well, I am one of 15, so I think I relate pretty much. We've always had, you know, little tit-bats, not a little, but maybe a few more growing up. But I have found out, with my experience with my relationship with God, now we can talk about things, and that we're getting along much, much better. And it's just a joy, more of a joy being together.
Well, what one thing do you do now that makes a difference? One thing.
I really listen to my brothers and sisters of where they are at in their life.
I think that's key. All right. Thank you, Linda. I'm sorry we got run out of time here. If we had a couple hours, we'd extend these calls, but we run out of time. I want to get into just a couple things. If you're raising kids at home and you see sibling rivalry, don't ignore it. Now, maybe that's part of the strategy to ignore it, because frankly, when we jump in too soon, what happens is, we jump in too soon, we solve all their problems. Your kids don't learn how to resolve problems themselves. But sometimes we intentionally want to ignore it because we also realize that when we jump in, we're telling them that we're going to solve their problems. So let me give you four things very quickly. How do you eliminate competition? Pairing up and power down. And one of the ways you do that is you follow through with both. Don't reward them by picking a winner and a loser. Decompress your family so there's not so much competition. And be consistent. Allow them to work out their differences. Set the rules, but be careful not to jump in too soon. Solve all their problems for them and hold them both accountable. And let them know through your actions and your behaviors that I love you both. The fact is they're different. You do love them. And you love them because they are different. You love them because of their uniqueness. You love them because God has made them uniquely different. Don't try to put them into your mold. Remember what the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it.
Number two is accountability. Accountability is key. We need each other. I would encourage you, if you've made a decision to develop a new habit in your life, you find someone that you can be accountable to. Someone who will hold you accountable. How are you doing on your journey of developing this new attitude or behavior in your life? Number three, just beware of the triggers to your habits. You know, habits don't happen in a vacuum. There's usually a trigger. It could be a time of day. Do you find that at a certain time during the day, it's almost like the clock tolls at a certain time, and you find yourself responding in a certain way? Some habits occur as a result of a smell. Have you ever noticed that sometimes habits have triggers with certain people. Have you found yourself, when you're around a certain person, having a certain way of thinking and responding almost without thought to that person? So just take some time to be aware of the triggers that can set off some of the habits, because I'm telling you, those triggers are still going to be there. They're still going to be those same people. They're still going to be the same smell. They're still going to be the same time of day.
You know, that's an excerpt from the featured member lesson for this month on habits and the power of habits. And one of the things research shows on habits is without a craving, without that deep desire for something, the habit doesn't stick. Think about the things that you don't crave in your life, and those things don't become habits in your life. But the things that you do crave, and sometimes they're good, and sometimes, frankly, Satan loves to camp on the things that are not good for us and will harm us in our relationship, and those cravings overtake our lives. And it made me think about a caller I had just a few days ago who was struggling with drug addiction. And she said, in her case, God just took the, quote, desire away. It was gone. As a result, she never desired, didn't crave it. I know that's not everybody's story. Many of you wrestle with, as I do, certain things that we have to every day say, no, even though that's something, humanly speaking, I would desire, it's not what God intends for me. Which then got me thinking about that passage that says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So if our desire is, Lord, our desire is to deal with some negative thing in our life, my desire is to see that change from that desire to something that'll please you, and if we're intentional with that in prayer and with our daily behavior and action, we're trusting God that that desire will change because we delight ourselves in him, and as we do, in the process, everything can change. Wow. You want to learn more about how habits are formed and how they can be changed? Check it out at theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours to join us at 888-888-1717.
They are just nitpicking over the most simplest things, and I'm about to lose all of my hair.
She believes that I love him more because she's feeling that he is loved more.
When they are in the vehicle with me, there is no respect for me. There is no respect for each other's bodies, no respect for, you know, like you were just saying, you know, no name calling.
One of my brothers, my younger brother, not so much, but the one that was 18 months younger than me, we are still estranged and we're both in our 40s.
But my children, the only word that I can describe my four boys are, and I mean even my two-year-old, is bullies.
Well, listen, we love your questions, we love your stories, and I tell you what, remember again, the area of control, do what you can. Ultimately, focusing on doing the next right one thing and developing that relationship. Your questions and comments are always welcome at theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, the Ministry of Intentional Life Media.